All right, let's turn in our Bibles this evening to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 11. Just for a few moments before we fellowship around the Lord's table, I'd like us to look at a wonderful truth here in the order and the meaning of the Lord's table from 1 Corinthians, chapter number 11. Here we see the Apostle Paul receive from the Lord some wonderful truths about our Lord's table. And I'd like to highlight one of those truths this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verses 23 to 26. I'll read verses 23 to 25, and let's read verse 26 out loud together, shall we? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 26, reading verse 26 out loud. The Apostle Paul says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Let's read verse 26 together. "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Notice those last three words, "till he come." The title of my message this evening is "The Lord's Table and the Lord's Return." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the time that we can fellowship around your table. And Lord, it is not our table, Lord, it is yours. And Lord, help us to remember you and help us, Lord, to place you on the throne of our hearts. And Lord, help us to desire you in our lives. Lord, speak to us through your precious word before we partake. And Lord, help us to have a heavenly vision of that which you've written in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible teaches us something very simple, but something very wonderful that we often neglect to see. And that is the fact that there is a connection between the Lord's table and the Lord Jesus Christ's return. Notice the Bible says here, verse 26, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." You see, the Lord's table is not only a reminder of his broken body and his shed blood, but it is also a reminder that our Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. He is coming again. And we worship the Lord and we gather around his table only till he comes. And I'd just like to share three little thoughts with you tonight before we partake about the Lord's table and the Lord's return. Notice with me in verse number 26. One of the purposes of the Lord's table is to declare his coming. Is to declare his coming. Notice the words there in verse 26. "Ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Ye do show. Those words mean to declare. In fact, they mean to preach. The same word there, "ye do show," is used in the book of Acts for the preaching of the word of God and the preaching of the gospel. And the Lord's table is a declaration. Look at verse 26. What does the Lord's table declare? It declares his death. The way he died. That's what the Lord's table declares. Well, we know that the bread, the unleavened bread, represents the sufferings of our Lord, the broken body of our Lord Jesus Christ. There the Lord said in verse 24, "This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." The unleavened bread reminds us of the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Notice verse 26. "You do show the Lord's death." And we are reminded that the Lord Jesus Christ is God. And we are reminded that it was God who suffered for you and I. It was God in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself willingly and humbled himself even to the death of the cross for you and I to pay for our sins. He gave himself, didn't he? into the hands of wicked men. He gave himself willingly to be butchered and to be horrifically beaten. And he suffered greatly, as in his own body he bore your sins and mine on the cross. That's what the unleavened bread reminds us of. Then the cup, the pure grape juice, reminds us of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the holy, sinless blood of our Savior. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, remission of sin. The Lord Jesus Christ's blood is holy blood, pure blood. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, who is spotless, who is perfect, the Lamb without spot or blemish. You've been reading through the book of Exodus following our Bible reading schedule. You would have read about the Passover recently. And you would have read of the fact that the blood was applied to the posts and the lintels during the Passover. And it was a lamb that was slain, and it was the blood that was put over the doorstep and over the doorposts of the home of those who lived within. And the Bible tells us that those who were within that home were under the safety of the blood. The blood of the Lamb protected them, and the Lord would pass over them. You see, it's only because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that you and I will not be judged for sin. If you simply receive Him as your Savior, you see, it's not enough to know about the blood. The blood has to be applied, just like it was applied to those posts. It wasn't enough that the Lamb was slain. No, the blood had to be applied, just like you and I this evening. If we know about the Lord Jesus Christ, but we have never been saved, my friends, we are not under the blood. We have not forgiven. We need to make sure that our sins are forgiven. But you see, the precious blood of Christ is symbolized by the cup, the pure grape juice that reminds us that you and I have that wonderful joy of salvation because of what He did on the cross for us, amen? Because He shed His blood so that sinners like you and I could be made righteous in the sight of a holy God who demands justice upon sin. And that justice was poured out upon God's only begotten Son, amen? That's what the elements remind us of. But what I want us to see this evening, that we are not just looking back to some facts that happened in the past. The Lord's table isn't a memorial, and we just look back at some things that happened in the past. No, my friends, it is a declaration of a living memorial, amen? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, you do show the Lord's death till He come. That means He's coming again, and of course that means He is risen from the dead. As we gather around the Lord's table, it is a declaration of His coming. We worship a risen Savior, amen? We worship a risen Savior, and as we gather around the Lord's table, we fellowship with our Lord. It is not a funeral service, amen? The Lord's table is not a sorrowful memorial. Sometimes we take part in the Lord's table just like we would stand at a funeral, perhaps even of an unsaved person. My friends, the Lord's table is a time of rejoicing. Yes, it is a sober time, but we need to remember that we have a risen Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, and He is coming again. And in every generation, from the time of Christ, God's people believe that Christ is coming back. And in every generation, the Lord wants us to be reminded. When we take part in the Lord's table, it is only till He come. It is only till He comes again. But we have a risen Savior, and He is a returning Savior. As we remember how the Lord Jesus Christ died, we remember that He is with us and He is coming again. Notice with me verse 26. It's a declaration for everyone. It's a declaration for everyone who's here. You see, even unsaved people see the Lord's table, take part, and they're able to see and hear about the broken body and the shed blood. The word ye show the Lord's death means to preach, means to declare. And if you're here this evening and you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your table, as your Savior, let me encourage you, taking part in the Lord's table won't cleanse you from your sins. The broken body and the shed blood is only symbolized by these elements. These are only symbols that help us to remember our Lord. This isn't the way that we are saved or forgiven. We are only saved through the Lord Jesus Christ once and for all by repenting of our sins and putting faith, our full faith in the Lord Jesus as our Savior once and for all. That's the only way that we can be saved. As we partake this evening, we remember what the Lord has done for us as Christians. But if you're here tonight and you're not sure whether you're saved, whether you are forgiven, whether you have had your sins cleansed forever and you are right with God, let me encourage you to make sure this evening that you are forgiven and that you are saved. Let me encourage you to deal with that this evening. But the Lord's table declares His coming, does it not? It declares His coming. Also, the Lord's table helps us to be ready for His coming. The Lord's table helps us as a church family to be ready for His coming. Notice verse 26, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come." See, the Bible tells us we are to gather around the Lord's table often. Now, the Word of God doesn't tell us how often we're to gather around the Lord's table, how often we should observe the Lord's table. But it does say we are to continually observe it within the local New Testament church. And it is not only to declare His coming, but to prepare us for His coming. You might say, how does the Lord's table prepare us for the return of Jesus Christ? Well, notice verse number 28 with me. The Bible says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." You see, the Lord's table is a time of self-examination. It's a time that we need to search our hearts to see if there's anything between us and the Lord. It's a time of self-examination. Now, you see, the Corinthian church here, as Paul was writing to them, they were disrespecting the Lord's table. They were eating unworthily. They were involved in things in their lives and in the church that caused dishonor and reproach upon the sacredness of the Lord's table, upon the picture of what the broken body, the bread and the juice represents, the picture of our Lord. Many of them were living in sin. Many were living in immorality. Others had arguments with other brethren in the church, and they were not willing to forgive one another. There were others who turned the Lord's table into a gluttonous feast. And the Apostle Paul was writing to them about the seriousness of the Lord's table. In verse number 30, the Bible describes God's chastening, God's discipline upon those Christians who took part in the Lord's table unworthily, disrespectfully, because they weren't willing to deal with sin in their lives. And I'm reminded this evening that the Lord's table, as often as we partake and remember the Lord, it is a time of public self-examination. Here we are together tonight, and the question is, are you able to partake? You see, it is a time of accountability, and it is good for us, because the Lord wants us to examine our hearts, to examine ourselves. Now, if there's something stopping you from taking part in the Lord's table this evening, God wants us to deal with it, does He not? He wants us to be ready for His coming. God has God wants us to have our hearts right as Christians each day, and He has moments of accountability just like the Lord's table. And God wants to challenge us even this evening to ask the question, what is stopping us or what would stop us from taking part? You see, there is a seriousness to the Lord's table, is there not? God doesn't just want us to take part without examining our hearts. Now, God doesn't expect sinless perfection, because there's no such thing, amen? God doesn't expect perfection, but what He expects is for us to be honest, to be willing to bring our sins before Him and to be honest about them and be willing to turn from them and commit them to the Lord for forgiveness. He wants us to be willing to forgive a brother or forgive a sister. He wants us to be willing to forsake a sin. And God says, hey, if you're not willing to let go of that sin, if you're not willing to take a step of obedience that you need to take, or if you're not willing to get right, then do not take the Lord's table. See, one of the purposes is to prepare us for His coming. Because the Bible says when the Lord comes, we will all stand before our Lord Jesus Christ and give an account for our lives. And He wants us to be ready. That's one of the purposes of the Lord's table, to make us accountable, to challenge us, to say, hey, I can't just stay as I am in 2015. I need to make my heart right with God, amen? I need to get right with God. Now, if there's something stopping you from taking the Lord's table this evening, Well, let me encourage you to bring it before the Lord during our time of invitation. Now, if you're not able to get it right with the Lord this evening, let me advise you just to watch the Lord's table tonight. But let me encourage you to make it right before the Lord until we take the Lord's table next month. Let me encourage you to make some decisions. You see, God wants us to be prepared. He wants us to be an obedient people. He wants us to be a people that honor Him and understand that He is a holy God, and God expects us to be accountable for the lives that we live. He expects us to be honest with Him about our sins and to be willing to say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, help me to forsake that sin. Lord, I confess it. You see, it's not just something that is taken unworthily, without respect. That is the soberness of the Lord's table, to be ready for His coming. And as we partake together, that accountability, that public self-examination works in our church family to bring us closer together, helps us to forgive one another, amen? As a pastor, I can't be taking the Lord's table if there's unforgiveness in my heart towards anyone in our church family. I too am accountable. I need to be honest before the Lord and willing to forsake sin and examine my own heart. We need to do the same. And as we obey the Lord together, and as we allow God to examine our hearts, God brings us closer together as a church family. And He prepares us for His return. Amen. That's one of the purposes that we often forget. The unity of the church as we fellowship and consider the broken body and the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's to declare His coming, it's to be ready for His coming, and lastly, it's to be comforted, amen, by His coming. The Lord wants us to be comforted that He is coming again. Notice verse number 26 in your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. Are you still with me? All right, a shorter message before the Lord's table tonight. Verse number 26, notice the Lord has set a timeline to how when we will continue to take part in the Lord's table. Notice verse 26. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. Till He come. You see, the Lord's table will not be something that you and I will take part in forever right here at Coastline Baptist Church. We take part in the Lord's table only until the Lord Jesus Christ comes. And my friends, that is a wonderful comfort to our hearts, amen, as Christians, that the Lord Jesus is coming again. He hasn't forgotten us. In fact, He wants us to remember every time we take part that we only do this until the Lord suddenly appears and we see Him face to face. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. And remember, the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, when the Lord Jesus comes for us as Christians, He's not sending an angel, amen? He's not sending a legion of angels. No, the Bible says the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. The Bible says that the Lord Himself will come, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. My friend, the Lord wants to comfort us this evening as we remember that He is coming, and we only partake in these elements till He comes. We ought to be comforted by that wonderful truth. You know, the Lord's table is a sober time. It is a serious time because of what these elements represent and whom they represent and all that Christ has done for us. But we can smile, amen, during the Lord's table. We can rejoice. It is not a funeral procession, amen. We have a living Savior. He is alive, He is with us, and by faith we see Him even now, but one day our faith will be made sight. And we will see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face, and we will rejoice together because He is a returning Savior. He wants us to be comforted that we will see Him face to face. Look with me in Matthew chapter number 29. Matthew chapter number 29. Notice what the Lord told His disciples in the upper room that night as they partook in the Lord's table. Matthew 26 and verse 29. Matthew chapter 26, verse 29. Jesus said, let's read this verse out loud together, shall we? On two. One, two. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." You see, church family, one day we won't need any symbols to help us to remember our Lord. Why? Because we will be with Him. And my friends, if you're a born-again Christian, one day you will see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. And we will sit with Him, amen. And we will dine with Him. And we will enjoy the heavenly banquet at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we will sit with our Savior and we will fellowship with Him face to face. My friends, this is a wonderful, comforting truth that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. Every time we partake of the Lord's table, we remember His broken body, His shed blood, and we remember that the Lord's table reminds us of the Lord's return. We are a people expectantly waiting for His return. I trust you remember that this evening as we fellowship around the Lord's table. It's to declare His coming. He is risen. He is alive. He is with us. It's to be ready for His coming. We need to be accountable before the Lord, and we need to examine our hearts and allow God to change us and mold us. We are to be ready for His coming, and God wants to comfort us by His coming with joyful expectation. Some thoughts to help us this evening as we partake in the Lord's table tonight.